We're back. Innerworld Podcast, Episode 3. We got an exciting one for you. Diverging a bit from the compilation of things that I have planned out for episodes of this show, we are going to be into the piping hot, fresh gravy with the excitement of new discovery. Dylan has a lot of spiraling genius connections that he's made, you know, connected old dots to new dots with some of the ideas that came out in the previous episode. It's going to be a really fun one. I like the title you already came up with, The Lord's Tower. Super excited. Before we get into it, I just want to tell you, man, I had a client today for tuning that he's gone through all of your books and also he's read them. Some of them, he said that he's read the first Spirit World book like 8 times and he's listened to the audiobooks and, you know, he's doing the work and following the wherever it takes him and the natural law of it all. And really awesome guy. And we had a great tuning session. So you know who you are out there. Shout out to you. And just thought that was cool. I love how our worlds converge. I think he even found my channel because of following your work originally. And that's just cool. It makes me happy to know that there are, even if we don't have contact with all of them, there are people out there that are really getting something out of what you're doing and our collaborations is pretty sweet.
I'm very excited about the possibility of this work catching on and people in different walks of life being able to bring things forward that we never had access to. That is some of the things that I dream about, because I know my goal is to for some of this to lead to significant discoveries in the real world. And, you know, I was talking about that with our buddy Pat the other day. And I think I'm going to write a screenplay, a story about this, and make it about this, what maybe not necessarily historical, but like kind of like follow that timeline to this empire, you know, kind of make it like a film like Gladiator. And I think it's really exciting that just thinking about somebody discovering something in a foreign location or in Italy or whatever, and they thought it was Roman or whatever. And like, imagine if they found something and realized it was Troy, because, you know, he also was like, I loved that idea that always stuck with me, the possibility that Rome was Troy. And that's what's been built upon or just straight up covered up. And just because of the sevenfold city and the labyrinth or the great sewers underneath it that look like they could be a labyrinth. So I love that. I love hearing that. And hopefully if he ever makes discoveries or contributes things in his own life, he'll bring it forward and maybe you can have him on as a guest or whatever. It's exciting.
Yeah, man. And I think we want to keep you a little closer to the mic. We're getting a little, maybe it was the angle or something, but there's a little bit of fade happening. It's all audible, but just for the rest of the episode.
I'll try to. I just want to be mindful that I'm not popping into the mic. I hate that on the playback. But
so, buddy, yeah, you want to introduce the topic for us? This is your research.
Feel free to. You can rename it. I just threw that name on it because I was like, we need something that correlates to Lord, Bull, Tower, etc.
And Tower is a sweet name. Completely epic.
Cool. And so in the previous episode, we had broached the subject. I think we kind of had an epiphany and just like a slight correction to make, but it still is the same. You had brought, I'd seen in your notes that I thought it was French because it said La Torre on the Marseille tarot deck. And you would think it's French because it's the Marseille deck. And it's not. That's Tower in Italian. But I had just done, I've been narrating the audiovisual version of this guy right here. And there's a part where I'm talking about, I think it's pronounced Tour in France. It's spelled Tours, T-O-U-R-S, but that means tower in French. And we had broached the subject about how there are accounts in the historical record that the Turanians are named after Terces or towers because they built towers. And this is, I don't know if you can see that, but that's formerly, you know, they would build in high locations like that. And that's why they were so strong in a sense of like being able to defend themselves, because they'd build their towns on like really difficult to attack positions in Italy. And so
the Turanians are the Italians on the Tyrrhenian Sea. It's right there. Also, that was another name for the Pelagi. So it's Phoenician, Pelagi, Tyrrhenians. These seem to be, and, you know, based on your work, we're putting forward that also Etruscans, the Celts, Gauls, these are all one people with different names and different languages and regions.
And speaking of which, we're going to dive into some Celtic. I've been studying the Cornish. And if you want to bring up that first image of Yesu or Yesu, one of the things that's really interesting about this universal empire and this universal system is oftentimes cultures, they use Latin letters to signify letters in another language. You especially see this prevalent in Eastern European languages. You'll see like maybe you'll see like Greek letters mixed with English letters in their language when they write it, and it looks like a hybrid of like Latin and Greek. It's really interesting. But what you are seeing here is you should be able to click the images if you don't want letters, like they can bring them up or whatever for all of the images. But that, we've talked about this a lot, how that is IH. Well, in this case, they leave out the S, they omit it. It's basically like an upsilon. Now, I don't know off the top of my head if that's their way of using it, S. It could be, but it looks like an inversion of the H to signify upsilon, because maybe that's what they had available to them. I have no idea. This isn't a historical inscription. It's from a 17th century text or 18th century text. But what you would look at is you see the I, which is the iota functions. There was no J back in the day. So we all know what that is. That's going to be the same in all of the languages pretty much. But that H is actually serving the function as a Greek eta. And then you have that upsilon, which is I think it functions as an S in this case, because it's basically just IHS. You can get out of that. I just wanted to show people like what you're dealing with in some of these Cornish languages. You can see there is a Greek influence. Now, if you want to go to that next slide, the reason I want to start here is because when you're dealing with these solar archetypes, you have this affinity that we've gone over, which is Boule, meaning the council, bull, and all of these archetypes have horns, which we'll get into. That's actually called hornism. You have Taur or Tor, which is going to be Taurus, right? The bull. And then you have Tower. You have Tours in France, Tua, which is Tours, that city, which is Etruscanized. There's tons of artifacts all over France, but especially in those areas. And I think we may be looking at the imprints of an ancient empire leaving its symbolism behind, then getting adopted. And all this stuff is going to be modern that we're looking at today. It's not like any of this is going to be coming from the ancient world, but you can see the continuity in it. And so
you might even make a letter swap jump to T to D and that R to an N. And now you've got Don, the Lord, as well.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. And I was looking at this even in the word tomb. If you just do that interchange between the W and the M, you have Tau. The root would be T-O-W instead of T-O-M, like you see with Sanskrit and Latin. So this, and the other thing is that like these, oftentimes they have sepulchral towers. They'll build towers over dead people. They call them victory towers. There's a bunch of names from them, but you'll see this from India to Ireland, you know, and everywhere in between, or maybe from Ireland to, you know, who knows which way it's coming from, maybe from Italy and out. That's not really the conversation that I'm here to like demonstrate, but that IEU that you see in Hesu or is in Cornish, yeah, it's IEU. That is the first three letters of Jehovah. That's where Jew comes from, and that's Jesus. So you're literally seeing that IEU in Cornish is Jesus. The Jesuits, they, for whatever reason, I think it's to kind of encode things, they leave that eta as it is rather than writing an E. But even like when you see it, the cross springing up out of that, you see on the side, it looks like an E. So it's kind of like a, it's kind of like an artistic way of hiding it. But for the audience, for those of you who have read Spirit World and listened to our shows, that's the monogram of Bacchus. And that's what a lot of people don't realize, is that that name of Jesus is, it comes from the monogram of Bacchus. And if you look at the hash marks, what you'll see is the one that's between the two upright eyes, if you will, that make the H. That's going to be the winter solstice. The middle hash would be the equinox. And the northern hash would be the summer solstice. So that is the thrice great nature of the sun.
Maybe it's actually the other way around, like the long gap between hashes being the longer daylight of the summer solstice.
Yeah, that very well could be it too. Mm-hmm.
And then the other way around, the space between the top two being the short days of the winter.
Yeah, you see that you see that in a lot of times when you look at the astrological charts, you'll see that the north is down and the southern is at the top, and then the east is on the left and the west is on the right. So that wouldn't surprise me at all if that's the case. And again, a symbol is just based on whoever made it decides what it means, right? Like there's a correlation, but that is thrice great. That's why Hermes or Hermes is thrice great. There's nothing else that's thrice great like that. And if it wasn't recognizable, it's right there in the middle of a sun. I don't know how anybody could dispute that. So when I deal with this symbolism, I'm not dealing with anybody's modern interpretation of it. You'll see under that in the next slide, if you want to go to that, it says King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's Bacchus. That's Jew. That's Jesus. That's Jehovah. That's Jupiter, God, the Father. That's Yao, Iota, Omega, Iota, Alpha, Omega, right? I'm the Alpha and Omega. Jesus admits that. That's what he is. And
which makes him Abraxas.
Exactly. And everywhere, for those who've never heard of Abraxas, when you see these archetypes inscribed in tombs and such, they're like these serpentine deities sometimes he's depicted with a chicken head. Sometimes he's not. Sometimes he's just depicted like Jesus, but with like a Phrygian cap on him. We'll get to that significance. But if you want to go to the next slide with the gentleman, I think that's Saint, I forget which saint that is. I think it might be Saint Clement. But what you'll see in that, if you zoom in on that sun, I don't know if you have the ability or not. It's okay if you don't. But that you're looking at Greek and Latin letters in that. And so most people can't read that because they're only aware of one. Like everybody who speaks English is aware of that S. People who only are aware of Greek might not recognize that that's an S, right? So they might be able to recognize the first letter, but not the last one. So it really does lend itself to people being at a certain level of education who can read this. And so what you'll see is UHS, but that U is a Latinized upsilon, which is in that context functions like HU, like HU. So you have God, and then that HS functions like ES, which is Esh, the fire, God, the fire. That's the sun. Leaves no dispute.
And we are made in his image. Thus, we are human.
Exactly. So where are we? When you want, we'll take us to the members only section. I can keep going, but I just wanted to, that's what I wanted to establish, because all of this is tying into the Lord. And we're going to get busy with all these female archetypes. I think it would be cool. Your audience will really like, I've never seen you broach the subject, but the people who are into the tarot, we've got some gravy, or I definitely have. I've never seen anybody explain that this is where the symbolism is coming from with the sorceress, not the sorceress, the priestess card. So if you want, we'll keep going or we can wrap it up. You just let me know.
Can't wait. Yep. This is the jumping off point, everybody. All aboard the members only train, Dylan's Substack. is a good place to get it, or my Patreon, or you can join the YouTube membership option that is new. All that's going to be linked in the episode description. See you guys over there.